teleport with Tess and Daniel to a place beyond time, space, and imagination. Although our world has had visitors from that one, this is the first time in history that it's gone the other way. Tesseract will transform you in mind-stretching ways. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph, available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon or at authorstock.com. Available wherever great books are sold.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Coming up on the broadcast, we'll talk about how Islamists are waging soft jihad in America's public schools, and also dangerous decisions by courts, corporations, and colleges and universities, illustrating a very dangerous trend in America against religious freedom, specifically against Christian religious freedom. It's not against religious freedom in general. It's just against Christians and against the Bible. All of that is coming up, but first, let's hear some great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their latest album entitled Fearless, the second track on the album is named From the Inside Out. This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, will I give you control? Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Your glory goes beyond all fame.
We really strongly recommend to you a great news source called One News Now. It's published by the American Family Association. And recently, I was staggered by an article that I read by a guest columnist named Dr. Karen Gushta. She explains that there was plenty of drama at the Homeland Security Committee hearing earlier this month when Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat from Minnesota, gave a tearful testimony that led the media coverage. Ellison, the first Muslim American to be elected to Congress, was among those that Representative Peter King, Republican from New York, invited to testify at the March 10 hearing to investigate possible terrorist recruitment within the American Muslim community. Ellison complained to the committee that the proceeding was, quote, the very heart of scapegoating. Nevertheless, Committee Chairman King has declared that the hearings will continue. The committee will investigate radicalization of Muslim Americans in U.S. prisons, strategies of Al-Qaeda and other organizations to recruit Americans, and how the Department of Homeland Security plans to address the increasing radicalization of individuals within the United States. And that was reported on Yahoo News. King's committee should also investigate the Islamist indoctrination taking place in America's schools. The fact is, government schools have been using textbooks that glorify Islam and denigrate Christianity for some time now. Such materials give children a favorable view of Islam and a negative view of Christianity and the Judeo-Christian heritage. In June of 2008, after 2 years of painstaking study, the American Textbook Council, founded in 1989 as an independent national research organization, released a 48-page report entitled Islam in the Classroom: What the Textbooks Tell Us. The report summarized the Council's detailed evaluation of the major history and social science texts in use in government schools since 2006. Of particular significance is the portion of the Council's report regarding 7th grade world history textbooks, since many 7th grade curricula, following the lead of California schools, now require students to receive instruction and engage in activities to learn about Islamic history, culture, the Quran, and the religious practices of Muslims. The report notes that, quote, textbooks reviewed avoid all conflict and bloodshed in describing Islam's push out of Arabia and rapid conquest of most of the Mediterranean world. They failed to explain how Islam spread in the 7th and 8th centuries. Islam appears out of nowhere, spreads smoothly, and by implication without conflict. Once it was common to say that Islam was spread by the sword. Now, textbooks implied, it moved peacefully with traders. Islam is brought to apparently willing populations. End quote. It was the Clinton administration that opened the door to teaching about the history and religious practices of Muslims. In 1995, President Bill Clinton directed his Secretary of Education, Richard W. Riley, to prepare guidelines for religious expression and activities in America's schools. The guidelines, set forth in Religious Expression in Public Schools, declared that government schools may not provide religious instruction as such, but they may, quote, teach about religion, end quote. The kicker, however, as Act for America has reported, was the additional statement that, and I'm quoting, students generally do not have a federal right to be excused from lessons that may be inconsistent with their religious beliefs or practices. So, parents who may object to their children being compelled to assume a Muslim name and recite prayers to Allah as part of their, quote, learning activities, have no recourse and may not withdraw their children from these activities. One highly publicized case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court in 2006, but the court rejected the appeal without comment and let stand the ruling by the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco in favor of the school district. The suit, brought by Christian students and their parents, challenged the content of a 7th grade history course at Excelsior Middle School in Byron, California in the fall of 2001. The teacher was supposedly following an instructional guide when she told students they would pretend to be Muslims for 3 weeks in order to learn what Muslims believe. According to news reports, during this time they were required to wear Muslim dress, memorize verses from the Quran, pray to Allah, simulate Ramadan by fasting, use the phrase Allah Akbar, translated Allah is great, and play, quote, jihad games, end quote. The federal judge in the Ninth Circuit ruled that such activities constitute teaching about religion and declared the program devoid of any devotional or religious intent, and therefore educational, not religious in nature. Stories of similar cases rarely get reported, but one writer, Cinnamon Stillwell, shared a number of examples of Islamist influence in schools in a 2008 opinion article in the San Francisco Chronicle entitled "Islam in America's Public Schools: Education or Indoctrination." Stillwell wrote, "Islamists have taken what's come to be known as the soft jihad into America's classrooms, and children in K through 12 are the first casualties. Whether it is textbooks, curriculum, classroom exercises, film screenings, speakers, or teacher training, public education in America is under assault." End quote. What can parents do? Well, obviously, one thing you can do is to withdraw your children from public school. Our church started its own school, a K-12 school called Apostolic Christian Academy. We cater to our own members and to church members of our own faith that attend sister churches near us. Hopefully, your church has a school of its own, or if not, a school that is sponsored by a church of your same faith is somewhere nearby. But if that's not an option for you, then the next best thing would be to find out what's happening in your child's school. Take a look at the textbooks for history, geography, and perhaps social studies. Gateways to Better Education has an excellent article entitled "How to Evaluate Your Child's Textbooks." And that article will help you to identify the assumptions, biases, and opinions that are disguised as facts that result in unbalanced and slanted textbooks. Find out if your child's textbooks are presenting a politically correct view of Islam while denigrating Christianity and the Judeo-Christian heritage. Equip yourself with the facts of what's happening in your children's school and classrooms, and then speak to the appropriate teacher and the school principal. You can find additional pointers on how to do that at the website for Gateways to Better Education. Their web address is www.gtbe.org. That's the Gateways to Better Education website, gtbe.org. As parents and concerned citizens, we cannot sit idly by. Stillwell wrote, quote, "Probably the single greatest weapon in the arsenal of those trying to fight the misuse of America's public schools is community involvement," end quote. Over 80% of Christian parents send their children to government-controlled schools. If even 20% of these parents took an active role in the fight against indoctrination in the public schools, substantial improvements would be made. Are you willing to be part of that 20%? Before we get into our next article, let's listen to some more great music from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The fourth track on their new album, Fearless, is a song entitled "The Distance." This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Broken up on a road that felt like freedom,
a rebel, headed anywhere but home. Adam's fall, repeated in a moment, a captive at the edge of Eden's door.
Let me again say that we're strongly recommending to you to sign up for the email updates from One News Now, the news service sponsored by the American Family Association. Let me again go back to One News Now for another disturbing article about how Christianity has become viewed as a qualified right. Yes, you heard me correctly, that your religion is now a qualified right in no less of a nation than the United Kingdom. In a recent on-air debate that guest columnist Peter Heck had with a homosexual activist attorney, Andrea Ritchie, he asked her whether, in her estimation, the demands being made by the homosexual lobby could peacefully coincide in our society with traditional biblical morality. After stating her opinion that there is no homosexual or transgender agenda, she explained that her understanding of Jesus' teachings was that we were to love and accept everyone. And when Peter Heck responded by challenging that those of us who oppose the dangerous lifestyle of homosexuality do so out of a sense of love, she reminded him that when confronted with the woman caught in adultery, another form of sexual indiscretion, Jesus warned Only those who are without sin could cast the first stone. Tellingly, she decided to drop the period right in the middle of Jesus' sentence. Conveniently missing from Miss Ritchie's defense was what Jesus went on to lovingly say to the woman caught in adultery, which was, "Go and sin no more." And that was the heart of Peter Heck's question. Is it possible for our society to satisfy the cries of, quote, civil rights for those practicing various forms of recreational sex while still providing for the rights of Christians to proclaim to those individuals, go and sin no more? Though intentionally elusive and noncommittal, her response contained enough substantive morsels to deduce the real answer. The two can coexist so long as Christians capitulate by neutering Scripture and accepting sin. This is the painful reality that our society can continue to ignore, but that will continue pressing uncomfortably against us until we acknowledge its nagging presence. Our culture is being confronted with the choice of whether we will continue to protect the rights of conscience for Christians and other like-minded religious people, or if we will forsake those protections and instead create a right of sexual chaos where moral disapproval of any consensual sexual activity is forbidden. We simply can't have it both ways. As evidence of this truth, consider a recent ruling from the United Kingdom's High Court. At issue was the foster care parenting rights, not of practicing homosexuals, but of practicing Christians. Eunice and Owen Johns had applied to become foster parents, but were denied that right because of their religious conviction that homosexuality is deviant and immoral behavior. The High Court saw this belief as discriminatory against homosexuals and thus deemed the Johns home an improper environment for raising children. This is the danger in elevating behavior to the status of identity. By confusing homosexuality as who a person is rather than what a person does, moral disapproval of that behavior is removed from the concept of free opinion and placed in the category of condemnable hate. The great irony, of course, is that by protecting practicing homosexuals from such discrimination, the High Court codified and condoned discrimination against practicing Christians. While they acknowledged the European Convention granted individuals a right to conscience and religion, the judges decided the degree to which Christianity is protected can be qualified. You got that? Religious rights now become qualified in order to allow for an unencumbered and unrestricted sexual license. Despite being built upon the framework of Western Christian thought dating back to leading legal authorities like the scripturally devout Sir William Blackstone, the United Kingdom High Court exhibited no hesitation in choosing sides in this titanic struggle between the rights of conscience and the push for sexual anarchy. They ruled, quote, "While as between the protected rights concerning religion and sexual orientation, there is no hierarchy of rights, there may, as this case shows, be a tension between equality provisions concerning religious discrimination and those concerning sexual orientation. Where this is so, the national minimum standards for fostering and the statutory guidance indicate that it must be taken into account, and in this limited sense, the equality provisions concerning sexual orientation should take precedence." End quote. Now, I don't want you to think that this is just something that's happening in the UK and we're not in any danger here. There are many examples where we've seen this imminent face-off between the demands of aggressive sexual anarchists of the left and the Christian rights of conscience brewing here in the United States. Here are a few examples. An Indianapolis cookie store threatened with eviction for declining to participate in a homosexual celebration. A New Mexico photography business fined for declining to take pictures of a homosexual ring ceremony. San Diego doctors taken to court for not providing a lesbian couple with in vitro fertilization? Or how about this one? An evangelical dating site, eHarmony.com, bullied by the New Jersey Attorney General's office into creating and operating a website for homosexuals. Even though we've seen this face-off brewing for some time, this UK ruling is the most alarming development to date. It indicates the uncompromisingly hostile position the left is taking towards traditional morality. One will win, the other will lose. The fate of our civilization depends on the right outcome. We can show even more examples for how our society is deciding that the Bible is a dangerous document and that people who believe it are those who must be hindered in their rights. The town of Concord, New Hampshire, is trying to limit the rights of a company called Signs for Jesus, which has led to a lawsuit against them by the Alliance Defense Fund seeking to defend the Christian company. Gas station roadside signs are okay in Concord, New Hampshire, but Christian signs are apparently dangerous. The ADF filed the lawsuit because Signs for Jesus wanted to put up an electronic sign displaying a Bible verse and then, you know, change which verse it showed every few days. ADF attorney Joe Infranco says, "Now this is a stretch of road where there are plenty of signs of all sorts. They're the same dimensions. They're also lit up. In fact, there's a gas station right nearby. And yet the town denied permission for Signs for Jesus to do this because of the content, because it was going to be a religious message. The town tried to justify its decision by saying that some passersby might look at the sign and have some sort of a negative reaction." ADF attorney Joe Infranco says, "Just a short distance from that location, there's a gas station with an even larger sign showing the price of gas. My reasoning would be, if you're worried about motorists' reaction, I'd maybe tell the gas station to stop showing the current price of gas." And Franco argues that Signs for Jesus has a constitutional right to display their signs, and that the town's decision denies them that right. Speaking of Concord, New Hampshire, the AP just recently listed an article. The New Hampshire Supreme Court stated that a lower court acted appropriately in ordering an 11-year-old girl to attend public school after her father claimed that his ex-wife's strict Christian teachings were socially isolating the child. Though religious freedom groups trumpeted the cause of Brenda Voydach of Meredith as a violation of her constitutional rights, the Supreme Court disagreed, saying the case was a family court dispute between the parents that the court was well within its jurisdiction to solve. The mother and the child wanted Christian school. The father wanted public school. The court says what the father wants is what's going to happen. We're all out of time, but we hope you'll join us again for The Voice of Truth.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch The Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
Daniel and Tess are childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.